chapter number 26. Matthew chapter number 26. Let's stand, please, while I read the Word of God. As I read today, I'll try to emphasize some things that we will be sharing throughout the message, and I pray that God will use that, speak to our hearts, and help us. Verse number 36. Then cometh Jesus with them in a place called Gethsemane. That word Gethsemane comes from an Aramaic word which means oil press. And certainly Jesus was under the pressure in this place called Gethsemane. And saith unto the disciples, set ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee. Those two sons of Zebedee would be James and John. Peter, James, and John were those three of the inner circle with Jesus. And began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Remember now he's facing the cross of Calvary, getting ready to be betrayed and face Calvary and die for our sin. Verse 38. And then saith he unto them, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. Not only was he heavy and sorrowful, he said, I'm exceedingly sorrowful. Think about what he's facing, even unto death. Tarry here and watch with me. Other places in parallel gospel talks about the fact that he prayed until his sweat became as great drops of blood in that place of agony. The real victory, by the way, was won in Gethsemane. He went to Calvary and paid the price, and surely the victory there was won. But had he not been faithful in Gethsemane, Calvary never would have been. Jesus could have spoke the word and the world would have disappeared. He could have let everyone that come out to arrest him fall with a heart attack. He could have done what he wanted to do. But here in Gethsemane, he was under the burden, the care, knowing that he was facing the cross of Calvary, going to die, be separated from the Father, and die in that place for us. Tarry here and watch with me. Verse 39, he went a little farther and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could you not watch with me for 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for the eyes were heavy. He left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and saith unto them, sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand. The Son of Man is betrayed in the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. And while he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude of the with swords and staves from the chief priests and elders of the people. And he that betrayed him gave them a sign, saying, whomsoever I shall kiss, the same as he, hold him fast. He kissed the door of heaven and went to hell. What a sad thought that is. Forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus saith unto him, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Lord Jesus, and thank you for the privilege that we have to pray. Thank you, Lord, for the Word of God that you have given to us here this morning. And Lord, in this place called Gethsemane, as Jesus went there with his disciples to pray in the hour that was a terrible hour for him, as he was going to the cross of Calvary and facing that, I pray, God, that you'd help us to realize the fact that Jesus, under the burden of that weight of fact, he'd be made sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And Father, this tragic time, they went to sleep, and I pray you'd help us today that we may be very alert to the times in which we live, and help us, God, be alert to the fact that Jesus Christ is still in charge and that we still look unto him to help us. And I pray the Holy Spirit of God take the word of God and speak to every unsaved in the house that they may see their need of a Savior and come to Jesus. I pray for everyone that's in this house that lost that joy, not where they need to be with God. I pray you bring conviction, draw them. Then, Father, help all of us draw closer to you and realize the fact, God, that we fail and come short of your glory. Help us in these hours and these days to be what we need to be for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen and amen. You may be seated. I preached recently concerning our testimony and what kind of a testimony do you have and what kind of a testimony are we leaving in this world. And I tried to share with you some different men of Scripture, and we talked about the testimony they had and tried to relate that to our testimony. Well, here we see the disciples of the Lord Jesus, and I want to take those disciples and relate them to us and see where we would best relate with them. And I guess you'd call it types of church members or types of people here that we find in Scripture. And God sends something to us, and we'll be partaking the night, the Lord willing, of the Lord's Supper, communion service, taking a part in that. And I do believe that all of us need to examine ourselves and see where we are and see how we look in the sight of God. It's not what we think we are. It's not how we see ourselves. It's how God sees us. That is really important. But as we preach today, I pray God would have turned that searchlight of heaven in on us and help us see ourselves like he sees us, and that we may identify ourselves somewhere in this message. I want you to look at verse number 36, and I'm not going to reread that, but in that, Jesus took eight disciples and said, "Set ye here while I go and pray yonder." Now, they were only eight of them because he took three more with him back further into the garden. Judas Iscariot had already left and gone to betray him, and so Judas wasn't there. As Jesus went into the Garden of Gethsemane, he was gone. And so there were eight set down just inside the gate. And Jesus had them set there probably because they were not, the other three went to sleep, so surely those eight, he didn't feel like could handle it, the pressure he was under. And but these folk today, I want to use that in the fact that some people just get in and then they sit down. That's as far as they ever go. They get saved and never go any further. May God help us to realize the fact that God didn't save us just to sit down. God saved us for his glory and saved us to magnify him and worship him, saved us to be involved in the greatest work on the face of God's earth, getting the gospel out to everyone in the world. Amen. And so we need to understand that. And look at this. Now I want you to just think with me a few minutes. I want to preach on those eight for a few minutes anyhow and think about them. They sat down. They missed that going back further with Jesus and just got in. And they're close enough. If you're just inside a gate sitting down, then you're close enough to reach out in the world or close enough to reach back, try to reach back for the other. You know, no man can serve two masters. It's what the Bible said. Nobody can serve two masters. He'll hold the one, despise the other, love one, hate the other. You can't serve God and man at the same time. But some people are really saved, and they get in, but they somehow don't break away far enough from the. Now, if anybody ever gets saved, they're a new creature in Christ Jesus. Amen. That's an evident fact. But you're a new creature, but how you grow in grace depends on how you're going to yield yourself and let God help you and let God work in your life. You can't do that by yourself. You need the help of God. You couldn't save yourself, and you can't make yourself grow, but you can sure help yourself grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. We grow some by hearing God preaching and hearing teaching and being in Sunday school and letting God speak to our hearts, being in preaching, letting God speak to us through the preaching of the Word of God. We get some help from all of that, amen? But then as you get in the Word of God and begin to read and study and glean for yourself, God will give you some nuggets out of there, and you begin to grasp some truths and get a hold of some things that will help you. And then as you pray and share with God your burden of your heart and the sincere desire of your heart is your prayer. And as you desire to grow in grace and know more about Him, as an old song said, I want to know more about my Lord. I say hallelujah. I want to know more and more about my Lord. I want to learn more and more about Him and love Him better and serve Him more and know better how to serve Him, better how to bring Him glory, better how to worship Him, better how to get close to Him. I want to do that, don't you? I don't want to just sit down just inside. Some people have the idea I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, so I'll just sit down and let it be just like it is and go there. Let me challenge you about that, and don't do that. You remember in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, there was a man led out in the water and said he led me out ankle deep. Got in ankle deep, and then he said he led him on out, got in knee deep. And led him on out, got in loin deep, led him on out and said, finally he's got so deep he had to swim. I'd like to get in the spirit and swim. Amen. I mean, ankle deep, he was in, but you see a whole lot of the man when he's in ankle deep. And then when he's in knee deep, you see less of the man, but you still see a whole lot of him. That's a picture and type of praying. And then he goes on further, gets up to his loins, and that's a picture of witnessing. And he began, you see less of the man. But when a man is swimming, all you see is every now and then a hand and a foot come up and a head bob up and get some air. You don't see too much of the man. The further you go with God, the less of you the world sees. And the more, amen. And that water speaks of the Holy Spirit and the power of God and the Word of God. I'm glad we can dive in and wade on out into the deep and get deeper with God and let God help us. Amen. And pray that God will help us as we go farther and farther with the Lord Jesus Christ. But hey, maybe some sitting here this morning, you've been saved, but your heart's cold. You're not really concerned about getting in. In fact, is there may be somebody sitting here today that's saved, but what you're waiting for is a preacher to get through, say amen, so we can go to the house. Or go down to the restroom, go somewhere. And we're more concerned about that, what we're going to do this afternoon, than we are about what we're doing right now. We're here to hear from heaven. We're here, amen. I remember Eutychus in Acts chapter 20, he sat down in the window. If you're sitting in the window, are you in or out? Now, these windows don't raise, and they're solid. You'd have to break a window to get in these windows. But I remember back where I grew up, windows raised. And in revival times, sometimes somebody may even be sitting in the building and get real full, and people outside could hear, and maybe people outside, inside, and all that. But if you're in the window, you could look out or be reaching out or hearing what's out there as well as reaching in, hearing what's inside. And so Eutychus sat down the window. Now, he was in the third floor of a building. Paul was long preaching. Now, y'all think I'm long, but Paul was preaching way late in the night. And I'll tell you a little more about how long he preached. But anyway, he got to preaching, and Eutychus sat down and went to sleep and fell out of the window on the outside, and they thought he was dead. And some people get so far away from God, as it were, in their saved Christian life. They get out there and they look like that dead bunch out there. They look like they don't even know they're saved. The other people don't even know they're saved because they're out there amongst the dead instead of being in the house where they ought to be. Amen. That's good. And they something like that, but I pray God will help you today to realize you need to get in the house of God. Amen. I'm glad for those who got in recently and got in the house, not sitting in the window, not trying to play both worlds, not trying to do that, but I just got in. But Eutychus got back in. Paul went down and said, don't fret yourself. He said his life is still in him. I'm glad, praise God, if you ever get life, you still got it. He may have fell out the window, but he got back in the house. And when he got out there and looked like he was dead, Paul went down, by the way, and prayed over him, got him up, and brought him back in. And Paul preached the daylight. And preached all night long. And I bet you Eutychus didn't even bat an eye after he got back in the house. He sat there wide-eyed, awake, and said, preach, preacher. Preach on. I'm listening. Amen. I bet he got out of the window, found him a corner somewhere, and sat down and said, I believe I'll just take in everything that God got for me tonight, and got it while he could get it. Amen. And I say, praise God, that's how we ought to be. We want to get in and get all we can get and get it while we're there. Let God help us. Amen. Amen. Enjoy the things of God. And don't sit down. Don't be satisfied if I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, and never grow in grace, never try to get involved. Don't ever try to get involved in anything the church is doing. Or just come in, go out, come in, go out, and that's it. But there's more to it than that. We need to get involved and let God help us be a part of what God's doing. Amen. And I praise that God would help us do that. And that we may see that. Let me show you something else about these eight. I want you to look with me in chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, verse number 22. Here's a man at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus went up on the mount, remember, he took Peter, James, and John with him. And those same three that he took farther in the garden. But the others he left down to foot with Judas. He was with them at that time. And this man brought his boy to him and had a problem, and they couldn't help him. Here's what it says, and oftentimes it have cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Here is the only time, as far as I know, in Scripture that anybody ever said to Jesus, if thou can help us. Every other time they saying you could and can if you will. But here they said, if you can. What made this man say that? He looked at those disciples down at the foot of the mount. They couldn't do anything to help him. They really didn't give him any encouragement. They didn't show anything. And that man wondered if Jesus could help him. I wonder when people see your life and my life, if they say, if God can do that for them, I believe he can do something for me. Or do they see you and me and say, well, if that's all there is to it, then I don't see how God's going to help me any. I don't see how it's going to make any difference in my life. If that's all there is to it, then I want them to see something different in me. I want them to see something different in you so you can have something that you can share. Amen. Y'all with me today? Amen. Now look at verse 23. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Jesus turned it around. He said, it's not the question if I can. The question can is if you will believe. And so today I challenge you to believe God and move out of that place of just sitting down and get up and do something for God. Well, somebody, that person over there needs somebody to witness to him. Why don't you be that somebody? Why don't you get up and be that somebody and move out of your comfort zone and say, this is where God wants me to go and do something for God in this sense of witnessing for Christ Jesus, our Lord, our Savior. Well, the church need this and church need that. Won't you be that something? I had someone one time in church say to me, and sometimes churches don't always shout, don't always get excited, don't always have a lot of testimonies. Sometimes we do. And sometimes people even have running fits. Amen, that's all right. When God's in it, run. When God's in it, raise your hand and praise God. Last Sunday morning, they some got to shouting, amen, and praising God. That's good. I like it when it's like that. I say, let it rip. Amen. I'm all for it, and I praise God for it. But let me say, I had somebody say to me one time, well, I like it, but nobody's just shouting. And I said, well, why don't you shout? And don't complain about nobody shouting if you're not going to shout. Don't complain about nobody raising their hand if you're not going to raise your hand. Don't you complain about nobody amens if you don't amen. Don't you? Amen. That's good. And we need to realize the fact we are the church. And so what the church is what we make it to be. And I got to get off this first point. We'll be here all day, sure enough. I'll be preaching all day instead of all night. But anyway, I'm still on the first point. And I spit that out, didn't I? But here Jesus saying, I can. I'm glad Jesus can. Amen. If we will believe him, we need to believe him. You got somebody's lost, going to hell, we need to pray for him. We need to witness to him. And we need to believe that God is going to do something to help them. And I'm glad God's still in the saving business. God's still able to help people. God still do what he said he'd do. Hey, preacher, we're living in cold and different time. We're living sinful, ungodly time. I know we are. I say amen to that. But we still live in a day that Jesus Christ is still saving sinners. We're living in a day when God's still moving in hearts. God's still changing lives. And God is still helping people to grow in grace. And God's still helping people learn more about God. Amen. I see some smiling at me and shaking their head because I know by talking to them recently, God been helping them. I'm glad God can help you, whatever your problem is. God can help you in your problem. But you can't just sit down on God and say, here I am, now help me. God expects you to get in the book, expects you to read the Word of God, expects you to pray, expects you to come to church. And that's not drudgery, amen. It's not a drudgery to be a part of missions and giving the mission. That's a joy, the privilege to get to do so.
Amen.
Amen. Tell somebody about Jesus. Invite them to the house of God. It's not a drudgery. That's a privilege to get to invite somebody to come to the house of God. Amen. May God help us do that. And so here's those eight, and they've sat down. That's as far as they go. Number two. The three that go on further with Jesus. Now, the first eight got inside the gate and sat down. But the other three went on further back with Jesus and praying. He left them part of the way back and said, now you watch and pray. Now, remember, this is the best that Jesus had. It wasn't the crowd that was sitting down at the gate. This is the three that had been up on the mount. They'd seen the Shekinah glory. They'd seen Jesus' glory come out in him. They'd seen Moses and Elijah. They'd been up there when God came by and the glory cloud covered them up. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son. Hear ye him. They'd felt like dead men in that experience on the mount. These three had been the ones that experienced God's blessing, God's power. They'd seen things others hadn't seen. They'd felt things others hadn't felt. It's the best he had. He took them on back in the garden and said, now, you pray with me and watch for 1 hour while I go yonder and pray. He went on further back in the garden to pray by himself, but he wanted them to watch and to pray. It's a tragic hour. Jesus is going to Calvary. He's going to die for our sin. He's going to take our place. And there he's going. But here I see these three men. They're sitting there. Jesus asking them to watch and pray. And they go to sleep. You and I would look at that and say, what a sorry bunch. We'd look at those three and say, surely they'd had enough of God. Surely they'd had enough experience to stay awake and realize Jesus was under heavy burden. He had already told them, I am exceedingly heavy. I'm exceedingly sorrowful. He'd already shared with them of how he felt and asked them to watch and pray. But they went to sleep. I say to you today, we may say they're a sorry crowd, but I say today, we're a sorry crowd. We're a sorry crowd. Jesus is looking to us in this world today that we watch and pray. That we get a hold of God, that we let God do something for us, that we get involved in the work of God. Those eight out there at the gate, they ain't grown in grace. They're still babes in Christ. They still need help. They need prayer. They need somebody to help them. This crowd had grown some. This three back here had seen some things. They experienced some things. They ought to be able to watch and pray, but they went to sleep. You know why? They didn't share the same burden Jesus shared. They didn't even get close to it. They wasn't even close to where he was. He was going to be made sin. He said, I'm exceedingly sorrowful. Yet they knew that, but yet they went to sleep. The flesh was weak. He said to them, in fact, the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Every one of us have a hard time with our sorry flesh. We know what we need to do. We realize we need to watch and pray, and our churches today need revival, and we need God to move on the scene. We need the power of God to come through. We need God and power to do something, and we need to get a hold of God, get God on us, and let God have us, amen, for his glory. Watch and pray. Watch and pray. If we don't do that, we're going to miss the blessings of God, and God will not be able to help us like he wants to. Did you ever notice in Matthew 25, look at verse 5. Here he's telling about those ten virgins. Five wise, five foolish, five wise. Those had oil in their lamps, five foolish didn't. Talking about saved and unsaved. Verse 5, While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. A-L-L, every one of them. Those that had oil, those didn't have oil. They all slumbered and slept. What's that saying to us? That we better wake up. Fact is, Romans 13:11 says, now and knowing the time, that now it's high time that we awake out of our sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Knowing the time, I believe Jesus is coming back. Time runs out. And knowing the time, how sinful, how ungodly, all the political stuff we've heard about and all that stuff, and got all stirred up about. What about people going to hell? What about the church drying up on God? What about the things that's happening all across America and immorality? What about all of that? We need to wake up. It's high time that we awake out of our sleep. Our salvation, that is our complete going home with Jesus, about to happen, take place. God help us. But now look at in verse 46 and those verses falling there. He talking about Judas Iscariot, the one that betrayed him. And by the way, let me say this about him. If you read the parallel gospels and read all about him, you'll find that Jesus, when he told him somebody's going to betray him, every one of them began to say, Lord, is it I? There was not a one of them pointing their finger at Judas Iscariot and said, there's a hypocrite, there's the one that's not really saved. And by the way, Judas Iscariot was never saved. John 6:7, he says that he was a devil from the beginning. What Jesus said, he said one of you is a devil. And so he was always lost. Jesus knew that, but he brought him into the 12 because he had a purpose for him being there. But Jesus knew who wasn't saved and who was. And in this house today, Jesus knows who's really saved and who's not saved. There's some here today that claim to be saved, but they're not saved. There's people here today talk about going to heaven, but they're not going to heaven. There's people here today that have that profession of faith, but they don't know Christ. And other people look at them, and I've thought myself sometimes, I've made some decisions, and then people got saved later. I wonder, why in the world did I not know that? But here, disciples of Jesus, they didn't know that Judas Iscariot was the one that's going to betray. Had they known that, I believe they would have manhandled him. 11 men could certainly whip one man. And they could certainly held him back and kept him from going out. But they didn't know that. They didn't realize that. And Judas Iscariot was that one set with them. He was the one that went out with them, saw the miracles. He's the one involved with them. And when Jesus did what he did and walked on what he saw all of that. He is with the same crowd. He was in a crowd when he saw the multitude fed. He was in the crowd, but he wasn't saved. And I say to you today, we need to get saved, born in the family of God. Why don't you look at Matthew 26, verse 24. The Son of Man goeth as written of him, but woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. He'd have been better for that man if he had not been born. In other words, he said it'd be better not to be born than die and go to hell. And Judas Iscariot died and went to hell. He kissed the door of heaven, kissed Jesus, betrayed him, and died and went to hell. It'd be a shame to sit in church like his and die and go to hell. It'd be a shame to hear preaching and die and go to hell. It'd be a shame to hear about the cross and die and go to hell. It'd be a shame to hear about a Savior that loved you enough to die for you and raise from the dead and ascend back into heaven and die and go to hell. But people do that all the time. May God help us realize the fact tonight, that I've been preaching tonight all week, but today, that we need to let God help us and get saved and get born in the family of God. Are you saved? You know you're saved? Hallelujah. I'm glad you know you're saved. Where are you in your saved life? Now, I'll give you one more real quickly, and we won't take much time on it. But John, that beloved disciple, he did all fled and left Jesus in the garden. But then Peter followed afar off, but John also went later and stood at the foot of the cross because Jesus committed his mother to his keeping. And so John stayed with him. There's some to stay with Jesus, keep on going. I believe there'll be a remnant to stay faithful to God until Jesus comes. But where are you? In the faithful crowd that's really staying with Jesus? Now, John was one of those that went to sleep too, but he woke up. He woke up. Thank God he woke up. We need to let God help us to wake up the spiritual things. And then he stayed there, and then on the Isle of Patmos, he got a great vision. He got to see Jesus. What a blessing it was. He just stayed true to God. Some's gone to sleep. Some's just been with God. Some's went further with God. Some's got really excited with God and saw God do things and got involved. But then somehow went to sleep. Then there's some that they just got saved and sat down, never went any further. Then there's some that's not even saved. God's speaking to your heart. God knows your life. God's speaking to you. When Jesus comes back, he's not looking for church members. He's looking for saved people. Born again, saved by the grace of God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. I don't know where you fit in today, but you fit somewhere in this message. God's speaking to your heart. God dealing with your life. I pray that God will help you today. I pray that you'll see that need to let Jesus Christ help you. Father, I pray all over the house today that the Holy Spirit will do his work. Father, I realize the fact that you're the only one that can help any of us see ourselves. I pray you turn the searchlight of heaven in on us, and Lord, help us to see if we're asleep spiritually, that will help us wake up. Then if we sit down just inside and just sit down on God, I pray you'd help us realize that. Then, Father, if we're not saved, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Every unsaved in the building, I pray the Holy Ghost would make it real to them that they need to get saved, born in the family of God. I pray, God, you'd help all of us see the need to be faithful in these days. Let the light shine for Jesus. We'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.